Now the kids have made their quiet exit. We're going to start. Let's pray. Lord God, we just thank you for your mercy and your grace. We thank you, Lord, that your word is true. We thank you, Lord, that you grant us understanding by the power of your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we rely upon you this morning to do your work. For, Lord, the words of a mere man are nothing. They have no power. They have nothing in them, Lord, that is worthwhile. But, Lord, by your Spirit, you're able to impact those weak efforts, Lord God, and make them powerful. So we just ask you this morning through your word and your power and your Spirit this morning, you work in our hearts and lives. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to look this morning at preaching. Simple as that. If you've got a Bible with you, 2 Timothy 3. And I nearly went into the same temptation as I did last time. I was going to preach this sermon last time I preached, but I started making a footnote that turned into a full sermon. So I could have done that with actually this bit this time, but I've resisted the temptation. I say that because I haven't started speaking yet, so we'll see where we go. Okay, 2 Timothy 3. It'd be good for you if you get chance this week, read the whole of 2 Timothy 3. Reason I say that, I'm just giving you a couple of extracts here, and they're like a taster of what's there. But if you read it in context, he's writing to a young preacher, and he's giving him some instructions, and he's also doing it in context of the end times, of what's there and what needs to be prepared. So that is very relevant to us, of the preparation there. Just as an aside, I watched a program in the week on how they make your new passports on BBC iPlayer. And it gets really interesting when it got down to looking at facial recognition. And apparently in China, they can spot any one of their population from facial recognition and trace back everywhere they've been for a full week. And you think about the population of China, it is absolutely massive. And places you've never heard of are maybe 3 million cities. And yet they can trace every single person in that population back for every place they've been to for a full week. That is astounding. That is scary. The potential there for what it was called Big Brother in the old days, not the stupid program, but the real book. Then it is there, it's now. This is not somewhere in the past. This isn't just science fiction projected. This is today. And so when you think about what you read and what you understand and the teaching in the New Testament about the end times and about persecution and the possibilities of it and buying and selling and all these things, and they're talking about doing away with money and so forth, yeah. It's all that.
Yeah.
It could be tomorrow. It's that simple.
Yeah.
And the technology's in place. It's ready to go. It's been functioning in some places already. So we need, as a church and as individual Christians more particularly, to be aware of what's going on and that we keep our hearts right with the Lord. Because that's really the issue for us, to see what's there. And if we do that, it doesn't matter what the rest happens, because we're right, that's fine.
Yeah.
But if we hear so much, and what really astounds me, I haven't started getting into the scriptures yet, astounds me these days, is the numbers of people that are Christians, who claim to be Christian, who talk about the end times and focus on the end times, and yet don't live as Christians.
Yeah.
And it's shocking. And how can you say one thing and do the other? And you're focusing on this, and you're saying this is true, but your actions don't portray that truth. Anyway, let's get into the word. 2 Timothy 3:10. It says, but you followed carefully to fit in with the pattern that we've been looking about, who to follow and following. He's saying to Timothy, you followed carefully the pattern of what Paul has done, how he's worked, how he's taught, what has been there. And he goes on, verse 16, he says this, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Let's just focus there for a moment. And this is why I said we might not get further into this than my own bits and pieces here. Do you want to be equipped for every good work?
Yes.
Okay. Well, here is your answer. It's found in applying the word of God. Does this not sound familiar to you?
Yes.
You might say, well, he's on that again. Yeah, I'm on that again for a good reason. Because it's so important. It's fundamental to everything. It's fundamental to everything that underlies discipleship and true Christianity. For he says that all scripture, so the word of God, he's sanctioning here the thoroughness, the fundamental truths that the word of God holds. It's all there and it's good for so many things. It's profitable. That's a good word, isn't it? Everybody likes a good profit, don't they?
Yeah.
They all like to make a bit of money, more interest, a good investment. Something that repays a lot, gives you a dividend. Yeah? Well, you want a good dividend in spiritual terms, it's profitable for your doctrine.
Yes.
You want doctrine? Get it from the Word. Don't get it from Charlie Bloggs' fat book of lies. Get it from the Word.
Yes.
Good for doctrine. Good for reproof. Oh. Tells you what's right, in other words. Tells you that, puts it straight. No, that isn't right. This is how you do it. Reproof is that sort of thing, isn't it? Yeah, it's not as strong as some. It's not as strong as the next word, correction. Correction is you're out of order. Get right. That's correction, isn't it? It's a stronger word. But the word of God does that. That's why we focus on it. That's why we keep to it. That's why we're not so much concerned about Jerry Bloggs' prophecy and focusing on that. We're not worried about trees up in Hadrian's Wall. We're concerned what the Word of God says.
Amen.
Correction. Then this is the reason he gives us, that the man of God may be complete. Now, some of the other stuff might give you something. I don't deny. Information, understanding, geographical understanding, looking at historical truths, looking at the context of the Bible. It's interesting, don't get me wrong. I like to look at some of this stuff. I much prefer to watch somebody else having done the work and looking at it on a program, but that's another story. That's my laziness. But it is useful. I'm reading a book about Israel right now that is to give a balanced understanding of what's happened there since the word go. And if it's good, I'll tell you about it. But right now, it's good so far. But my focus is on the word.
Amen.
Our teaching is from the word.
Yes.
Our understanding is from the word. It comes back to the word of God. And there's reasons for that, and we'll go through that in a moment. The man of God may be complete. So you want to be complete. Forget about the peripherals. Forget about the added extras. Yes, they're good and sometimes they're nice to know. Get into the word.
Amen.
I can't put it more subtly than that. That you would, he goes on, that you may be complete. Then he puts a comma. Thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's where it's at. Okay? 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. So he's going on through the letter to Timothy and he comes to this place and says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, with whom who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. He's speaking to a preacher, a young preacher, who has not got as much confidence, clearly, or experience as Paul, and he's giving him some instruction, and he's telling, I charge you before God. Now, that when, if you've ever been in a denomination, usually it is, and they come, and there's a new pastor come into those congregations, they give them, it sounds strange, they give them a charge. It doesn't mean they plug them into the electric. Okay. And say, zap, you're ready. No, they charge. You know, they're putting this before them. They're saying, you know what, this is something important that we're going to do here. And we are making a proclamation. We're like going on a charge in court. You're on a charge. Well, there's something about that that there's you've got to answer to. That's the point. You've got to answer to. And they put the charge before the pastor. He makes certain commitments to them and the church, so forth, about his ministry and so. That's what they do. There's a charge. That's what he says here. I charge you, therefore. I'm putting this to you. There's instructions here that you are an undertaking to do. And who he does it by is quite astounding. By God, the Lord Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead. No, this isn't a light thing. This is heavy duty stuff, is what he's saying. Okay. This is what he's charging him to do. Preach the word! Exclamation mark. That's the charge. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. And teaching. So you say, this is your focus, Timothy. You can do a lot of other stuff. And he does mention other stuff later on, including the work of an evangelist later on, right at the back end of that. But his focus is preach the word. Why? Because of what he's already said. What's the word going to do? Bring completion to the man of God. Okay. So that you're ready. So you have understanding. So that all that thing are there. Okay. So this is what he's saying. He also then talks about times that was happening there and then and happening more and more now. People which turn aside to fables. Yeah. He's letting them know right there. There's going to be those. You're going to come across it. You are going to come across it. Yes. You will. You should probably have already. If you've got your ears and your eyes open, you've probably come across some of the fables that come out. All this, oh, such and such, all this move. Got some things, don't get me wrong, there are moves of God, and that's true, and I love it. But some of them are fanciful. They're not moves of God. Not the God of, not the God which is the God of this age, not the one to come. And yet, he says about their itching ears. People want to hear what they want to hear. Be truthful, I like to hear what I like to hear too. And that is the nature of mankind. But the truth comes through the word.
Amen.
Whether I like it or not, whether I agree with it or not, whether I want to do it or not, that is a non-negotiable thing. It's still the word, it still applies. He says, and they have turned their ears away from the truth. Who are we talking about here? If you've heard the truth, only those who've heard the truth could turn away from the truth. Otherwise, you won't have been to the truth. Yeah? I'm sorry, I use logic a lot. Strangely enough. Well, most people don't seem to do that. They live their lives in this fantasy world and they don't apply logic to anything. And the world doesn't make any sense. You apply logic to the word of God. What does it say? It's saying they once believed, they once were applying the word of God, they once knew the truth, but now they've turned aside to fables. And you will have seen it. Health, wealth, prosperity. Yeah? Blab it and grab it, name it, claim it, all this sort of stuff, many other things, laughing revivals, oh, many, many things, hundreds of more, and they're the easy ones to pick on. There's a lot more subtle than that. And probably the subtle ones are even more dangerous for that very nature. Turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful. Then he says, endure afflictions. Guess I put that in. Do the work of an evangelist. Spread the word. You might not be an evangelist. We're not all evangelists.
No.
We aren't. Some people are, and some people are really good at it. Other people are not so good at it, but he said, do that work. If you've got the opportunity, do it.
Yeah.
Simple as that. And we said before about one of the basic things to do as a new, early, young Christian is to share our testimony. What's God doing for you today? Fulfill your ministry. Don't forget, he's a young preacher. So that's what he says there. Just in that all. There's a lot in there. This is my intro. Last bit of the intro. 2 Corinthians 4, 5. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bond servants for Jesus' sake. He's preaching Christ Jesus.
Yes.
That's what we focus, that's what the preaching focuses upon. I know it covers a myriad of subjects, but it comes out of the teaching of Jesus.
Yes.
It's Christ, for all the problems we talk about, because it's good to talk about problems. The first thing I found, I went to the Dales years and years ago, to the Dales Bible Week, which was then really good. And they had a number of years, it was really, really, really good. And I learned an awful lot. It's the first time I actually heard the Word of God applied to normal living situations. Yeah, normal life. And that was good because it was always so highfalutin and over here and over there and never giving you any answers. But it was actually applying the Word of God. And that's what we need to do. Preach the Word, that we preach that. It all comes back to Christ.
Yes.
Doesn't it? Because
yes.
Without Him, even though we know that the answers won't work, without the power of God, will they? Otherwise, we don't need him, do we? So there we are. That's your intro. Okay, let's see how far we get. Looking at the time, I might split this into two. I don't know. All right. Having said all of that, okay, some churches, their focus isn't the Word. It's worship today. That's the big thing. That's the beginning today, isn't it? Am I right?
Yeah, yeah.
Give me a yes. Give me an amen. Give me a something.
Yeah.
Give me a shaking of your seat. I don't know. But it is. It's where people... And don't get me wrong. Worship is important. Absolutely important. It is fundamental, but not the absolute. All right? Some have made it the absolute. And the teaching, the Word of God... It sort of doesn't matter who does it, and it lasts, I don't know, and we're not sure about it, but we're focused on the worship. Why? Because, one, it's emotional.
Yes.
It is, and it should be. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not knocking it on its head. There's nothing wrong with that. It's good. It's good to have your emotions stirred. And one of the reasons why worship is important is because it opens our emotions in preparation for when the Word of God comes along. And therefore your heart is more open and ready to receive. No point in getting open and ready to receive if then you get nothing or a bunch of dishwash. Okay? That's the first thing. Secondly, it's entertainment. I like being entertained. I'm not Robbie Williams and I'm not going to sing it for you. So those are in tune with that. But it's nice and that's fine and that's all. But it's absolutely not essential for the church. Where it is useful for the church is to draw in people that are not saved.
Yeah?
Bring them in. Preach to them. Yeah? Draw them in, let them know the truth. Otherwise, you draw them in to look at the chicks and the guys. Am I right? Come on. Look, yeah, all the young people. Yeah, you're right. See, I've been around a long time. I'm not stupid. So. Some churches focus on worship. Other churches, their focus is on an altar. You go into a Catholic church, you go into a Church of England, and what have you got? You got like this sarcophagus. You know what I'm talking about? You know, a sarcophagus is an old grave, really. A stone-covered grave. And I think it's pretty much a fitting. And that's their focus. Why? Why is that the focus? Do you know? Some of you do, I hope. What? It's all about sacrifice. But not you sacrifice. It's about re-sacrificing Jesus. But Jesus said of himself that it is finished. That he's come once and for all. There is no need for him to shed his blood once again in the form of wine or turning by transubstantiation, which only came in somewhere around the 1600s, amazingly, several hundred years after Jesus. But there we go. We'll all believe it and go for it. It isn't that, is it?
No.
But that's their focus. And every, I don't go to the Catholic Church, and I don't absolutely know this to be true. I think most time they'll have a communion or whatever they call it, a mass. That's what they call it, isn't it? Every time you go, and your salvation in that church belongs and is residual around you taking that. And if you're excommunicated, which I would be, then you are barred from partaking of the Mass and essentially damned. Yeah? Those of you who come Catholic backgrounds will understand this better than I do. Okay. Similarly, in the Church of England, they follow the Catholic teaching on a lot of the stuff because we know where the Church of England came from. It's the illegitimate son or daughter of the Catholic Church coming out from Henry VIII, who just simply wanted to get a divorce. Not the best basis on building a church. Okay? And a lot of the mixtures, all that is all bound up in trying to keep this thing together all the way. So they focus on an altar. All right? And that's inaugurated every service. And we've had the worship stuff. The central place and focus of this church is this strange thing. The pulpit. Okay? It's not because it's great. It's not even proper wood. It's laminated. Laminated oak. But that, why? Because it's the place the Word of God is preached from. Doesn't matter what it's made from. It can be a stick with a bit of glass on or pole. So it could be a music stand for me to rest the books. It's just to give the notes some place to go. It doesn't need any of those things. But the focus is the preaching.
Yes.
For the reasons I've already stated, the focus is the Word of God. Without the Word of God, where are you going? What are you doing? What's it for?
Exactly.
Okay. You see, through preaching, God confronts us. God deals with our problems. Yeah? He's able supernaturally to impact our lives and change us by the stupidity of preaching. He calls it the foolishness of preaching in the scripture, but we can go a little stage with that. You see, people are looking in all sorts of churches for the right program. The right way of doing things, the latest bandwagon, the latest thing, the latest fad, the latest fashion. God's method is preaching. I suggest we stick to it.
Yes.
Now, you might get all sorts of results with the other stuff, like numbers of people. If that's what you want, a crowd, well, my dad used to say, oh, we want to build and get more people in church. Let's get a few one-armed bandits and some dancing girls. I don't think that'll bring them in. What do you want, a crowd? Or do you want discipleship? You see, this is the choices that you make. You might not think about it, but that is actually what is involved in what we're talking about. It is through preaching that we are dealt with. You see, God begins in our heart when we're new saved. Usually he starts dealing with the sins that's killing us. The smoking, the drinking, the drugs, all that stuff that's basically killing you the quickest. Then, but they're not the most important ones, which some religious people say, oh, we're still smoking. Yeah, and you're still bitter.
Yeah.
I love this stuff, don't you? just because you're not smoking, fornicating, and doesn't mean that God has finished. There's some deeper issues down there, and I can tell you there's been some deeper issues, and there probably still are, that God has dealt with and will deal with, if you're willing. So you see, you don't get saved and that's it. Oh, I've crossed the finishing line. I'm in. No, you're not. You started. You begun. Good. I'm glad you begun. Now get going and carry on. Run the race.
Yes.
There's serious things that God has got to deal with. He has. And for each individual, it is different. Just because God's dealt with it in me or dealt with it in somebody else doesn't mean he's dealt with it with you yet. It's you're not necessarily your timing. He's better at timing than I am. See, this is where religious folk go wrong again. They see something and they hone in and they get their woodpecker out on people. Yeah? God does it the right way. God has a timing. God has a way. There's a lot of other things that need dealing. In fact, oftentimes he deals with the other stuff and that one disappears. That's by the way. Okay. First point. What's wrong? It's only 11:45. I will not get through this, that's for sure. Okay, I'll find a place where to cut it, which makes some sense. Okay, the first thing I want to talk about in preaching is some of the important things about preaching. The first one is nothing about the way it's preached or the mechanics. It's about you. You have a responsibility to listen when the word of God is preached. Don't do that, the rest is a waste of time. It doesn't go anywhere. You see, it may not be this morning, and it doesn't feel like it this morning. You get up here, and often you can feel the spirit of what's there, what's coming out at you. Sometimes, in the past, I've been able to, you could have got a knife and cut it out and taken it home in blocks. Built a hostile wall somewhere else with it. You feel the spirit of what's there. And I don't feel that this way this morning. There is many times a spirit of resistance to the word of God. And you can feel, as you preach, you can feel that. And sometimes you can feel a breakthrough when that thing has been broken down. Other times you don't. But that's from the preacher's perspective, not necessarily yours. But there can be people here resisting God. God, I'm not going to do that. Now, I've never heard anybody shout that out in a service, have you? No, I ain't going to do it. No. I'll still come to church, but I ain't going to do the word of God. No, none of us say these things out loud. We think it, but don't say it. Good old autistic phrase that. Okay. You see, you must be good hearers. One of the greatest responsibilities of preaching lies upon you. There's a lot of Christians have got anti-Berrian disease. What do I mean? Well, it says in the scriptures about the noble Berrians that they heard what was preached and went home and checked the scriptures to see if these things be so. Christians with anti-Berrian disease, they'll go home and they'll look for a loophole. They'll look for some off-the-wall phrase or scripture or something or some paraphrase says, which will somehow exempt them from putting the word of God into practice. No, I know you wouldn't do that. Do I? Well, I'm not so sure. We can all do it. That's the truth. That's the reality. Okay? We can do that and try and excuse ourselves and not do what put the word of God into practice. That's simply resisting God. If we want to put it down into normal terms and saying, God, I'm not going to hear that. I don't want to know. I don't want to hear that. And you can preach it once and they'll say it. And now you can preach it twice and they'll say it. And come the third time, they won't even hear it. Okay. Jeremiah lamented and he spoke to the Lord in Jeremiah 6:10. He says, "To whom can I speak and give warning? Who will listen to me? Their ears are closed so they cannot hear. The word of the Lord is offensive to them. They find no pleasure in it." Here's the man of God. God has commanded him to do, and he's preached the word of God. And this is the response that he's got. And it dismays his heart, as it does to many a preacher. But the truth is, and I've learned this over many years, that my responsibility is not your response. My responsibility is to preach the truth.
Yes.
You do with it what you will.
Yeah.
I've discharged my responsibility. You've heard it. You've heard too much now. This is what he felt like. You see, he's saying, the word of God, it's like a reproach to them. They hate it. You see many people, they come to church, they hear the word of God is preached, and they may even enjoy it. Let me turn this over, keep myself organized. They'll take notes. Oh, that was a good sermon. Oh, Pastor, that was great. I never saw that before. It all fits together so wonderfully well. But they go out and they're no different. Isn't it wonderful? But we don't change. They don't allow the word room in their life. They don't give it place in their heart. What are we here for? You see, God wants his word to be a revelation to you. People miss the point entirely. Scripture has an awful phrase in it. It says, ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. God wants to multiply things in you. He wants to do things and break bondages. He wants to bring release in your life. He wants to be able to build you and direct your life. He wants to do the miraculous in your life. He wants to change you from what you are to what you should be and what you can be in him, if but you would only listen and apply his word. We should not continue to be bound by the same old thing. The problem is, we have hearing problems. And they won't be cured at Boots, let me tell you. Jeremiah says, they have uncircumcised ears. They have a flesh problem with their ears. Some people, they never hear, they never change, they never alter. And you've got to worry when you see that. Then there are certain subjects I shouldn't preach on. Not that'll stop me. It'll probably encourage me. But that's just my perversity, I guess. You know, you preach on it 50 times and you've already decided the second time you're not going to hear it. I guess the easy ones to pick. I'll pick on the easy ones because you can probably relate to those. You know, you preach on marriage and he starts telling you, you know, you need to start teaching. You need to start treating your life like she's a human being. That's a difficult one, isn't it? Why is he very quiet? There's not so many of us men, is there? That's the thing. I'm not saying this is you. It might be. If it is you, listen up. But, you know, you don't know my wife. You know what she's like. You don't know how to do it. This is rhetorical. I don't want to get beaten up at the end. All right. Theoretical. You don't ask me to treat it like a human being? Well, that's ridiculous. And that's how people are. You get on those subjects. And then there's the other one. The wives submit to your husband. Submit to him! You get the volume. You don't know how. It's like a rodeo. You ever seen them rodeo machines where you get on the bull? They put them in. They're in Blackpool and various, and they sometimes have muck places. And it goes, and it starts off nice, and it's like, oh yeah, there's no problem. Then it starts to go, and like you're all over the. That's what this is like. You start preaching on some of this stuff, and whoa, the rodeo is going. And it's like you blasphemed or something. Oh. If you knew what an idiot my husband was, you wouldn't ask me to submit. Hello. Let me just put a little point of balance in there, which is very important while we're on that subject. We're talking about submission, not subjugation.
Yes.
Masses of difference. Yes. Lots of Christians and lots in society have subjugated women.
Yeah.
That is absolutely wrong. That is not scriptural. Though they try and subvert the scriptures to say such nonsense, it is not. And like anything else, like we said before, follow me as I follow Christ, as Christ. Okay, so if it gets to doing things, he's saying, do this, do that, and it's not godly, you don't have to submit to that.
No.
Okay, just that, there's a whole thing on that, but I just thought I'd better put that in whilst I'm mentioning it, because we're in danger of going into deadly places if you're not careful. Okay, some people with major problems in life when they come to church is they fall to sleep. Now, I've not experienced this in a number of years. I did remember preaching in Manchester where his snoring was louder than the preaching. And I got the microphone. Bang, 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 bang. He's got the temerity to fall asleep. I've got the temerity to bash the microphone. Where am I? Yeah. But it's not because you're tired. So I've not come across this here, but I'll put it in because it's here. It's because it's a spirit. Every time there's preaching there, people oftentimes they have this spirit, they fall asleep because it's a spirit of dullness. They don't want to hear, they will not hear, but your responsibility is to hear. Okay, that's what you need to do. A great responsibility lies on you to hear what God has to say. And he is not going to bring you some special dream when you're asleep in church. I'm going to church because when I sleep in church, I get these wonderful visions. No, you don't. Or an angel appears to you. And you will hear it. You will hear the word of God out of the mouth of a man. Like it or not. Think it's stupid or not, it's not my choice, it's not your choice, it's what God has chosen. Okay. Now, whether the preacher makes silly noises as he preaches, you come across them? Then amen, then ya, and head ya, of the ya. Oh, yeah. I want you to know, ha! Everything, ha, that, ha, I know, ha, that I speak, ha, has to, ha, ha, have a, ha, at the end of it. So if I laugh, it's, ha, 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 ha. Sorry. We're not having this laughing church, laugh. A pastor said something years ago that struck me. If people will not hear it over the pulpit, they will not hear it. You can go and counsel, you can go and give your understanding all you like, but if it won't be heard from over the pulpit, they're having none of it. You're wasting your time. It saved me a lot of time. You, is when it's preached, if they're not hearing it then, they won't. The book of Acts tells us that an angel appeared to Cornelius. You remember Cornelius? But the angel didn't preach to Cornelius. He was a godly man seeking God, seeking what was going on and wanted something there. And God sent him an angel. But the angel didn't preach to Cornelius, did he? If you remember the story. He said, go down and find a man named Peter. And he's going to tell you everything you need to hear. He's an angel. Who do you want? Angel or Peter? Come on, choices. I know what I would say. Angel, give me angel any day. Wouldn't you? Oh, you're so spiritual, you're going to get Peter. Right. Anyway, angel says, go here, Peter. They don't have a choice. And the angel told him absolutely nothing. Nothing about how to get saved. God won't send an angel, he'll send a man. And the Bible says Cornelius was a wise man and he gathered all his family together and said, we are all here present to hear all that God would speak through you. And he got to Peter.
Yes.
Now some of you present are not here. That's a weird thing to say. Here in body, but your mind is flying about. So it used to be an advert with his mind going in the clouds as he's driving along. You know, somewhere else, something else, on your phone. I've seen that in congregations, haven't you, these days? I'll just do my messages. I'll just... preaching, you just spent 17 hours getting that sermon. It doesn't matter, I've got this message to answer. Not that I get upset about it at all. Some are present every service in church, but they're not here. They sit and look at me, and they're looking at me, but they've turned their backs on me at the same time. Do you know what I'm saying? The thing is, your responsibility this morning is to hear. You are responsible to hear and obey. Put the word of God into practice. Because it is God who is striving with you. It's not me. My striving wouldn't do you any good at all. We'd just get into a big argument. But God is striving. God who is dealing with you. And you are responsible. I'm going to leave it there because I've gone on long enough and there's plenty more to do. I like that, yeah. That's good, isn't it? Yeah. It'll keep you going. Keep you thinking. Keep you coming back. All right. I'm going to pray now as we just come to an end now.